to teach us how to live and what life is like in the kingdom. Today we come to chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. We'll be reading through verse 16. Let's hear the word of the Lord together. And as Nick said when he was up here sharing the scripture a couple weeks ago, every word here in the red letter is in red. So this is spoken directly from our Lord Jesus Christ himself as he told this story. Jesus said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them to work in his vineyard. About the third hour, which would be 9 o'clock in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour, which would be 12 noon, and the ninth hour, which would be 3 in the afternoon, and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, which would have been 5 in the evening, he went out and found others standing around, and he asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' he answered. And he said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard.' So when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first.' The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. 'These men who worked hard, worked last, worked only an hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of work and the heat of the day.' He answered one of them, 'Friend, am I not being unfair to you? I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am so generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." Here's reading God's word, and his blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for these stories you have been teaching us. And Lord, we love stories and we can relate to them. And through these stories, you are teaching us what life in the kingdom is like and how you want us to live, which is so different from life in our world. So Lord, I pray that through your word again this morning and through as we look into this portion and the story you told, that we would learn the lessons that you, our master teacher, have for us. That we'd be encouraged by your word and your truth, and not only gain understanding of what you want us and what kingdom living is like, but we'd also apply that in our life and live it as well, that this week we may walk in your glory and walk in your joy. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever felt that life just isn't fair? Sometimes we have that feeling, life just isn't fair. Anne Graham Lotz tells a story in her book called Heaven, My Father's House. And she tells a story about an old missionary whose name was Samuel Morrison. He had spent 25 years doing ministry and mission work in Africa. He returned to America at the end of his 25 years of missionary service on the same ocean liner that brought President Teddy Roosevelt back to the United States from a hunting expedition where he had been hunting in Africa, probably out looking for one of his teddy bears somewhere. Upon docking, President Roosevelt was bombarded with scores of people welcoming him home from his hunting expedition. Barriers and police escorts were needed to keep the masses of people from rushing on to the president and mobbing him or crushing him. As he was welcomed and cheered with ticket tape and parade, people unfurled signs, "Welcome home." And Morrison walked off the ship alone. No one noticed. No one even knew he was there. In fact, he couldn't even hail a cab for a ride because they were all so busy with the mob that was there to welcome President Roosevelt home. In his heart, Morrison complained to God. And he said, this president, the president was hunting in Africa for 3 weeks, killing animals for sport, and the whole world turns out to welcome him home. I've given 25 years of my life in serving you in Africa, and no one's come to greet me or even know I'm here. It's just not fair. In his questioning heart, he heard the Lord in his gentle love, and the whisper of the Holy Spirit said to him, but my child, you're not home yet. That's where the reward will be. That's where it will be worth it when we come home. It may not seem fair in this world, but someday when we hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant, and the band of heaven play, and the Lord welcomes us there, what a great homecoming that will be. As we continue our series on the parables of Jesus, today we're considering the parable of the worker in the vineyard, one of the stories Jesus told. And as we try to understand these stories, it's good for us to get them into the context of how or why Jesus told them, so we can see and understand a little bit the context of the meaning for what was happening before and after the story was being told. If we look up into chapter 19, we find that Jesus was teaching, and the parents were bringing their kids to Jesus. And he was being overthrown with all these kids coming. Parents were bringing their kids to Jesus to have him bless them, and he was laying his hands on him and blessing them. And that bothered the disciples. They said, don't bother the master. He's too busy for kids. He doesn't have time. He's too important what he's doing. And he's too important a person to be caring about kids. So don't bother him with the kids. And remember what Jesus said to his disciples? He said, let the kids come to me. And he put his hands on them and blessed them, said, the greatest in the kingdom is like these children. Unless you become like child, you're not going to enter the kingdom. I'm saying, let the kids come to me. After Jesus blessed the children, we read that a man came to Jesus who the Bible said he was young and he was rich. He's described in the Bible as known as the rich young ruler. And that's how he's described. And he came to Jesus and said, Lord, good teacher. That's what he said, good teacher. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And first Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one's good but God alone. Jesus was good. But Jesus says, well, what does the law say? And he says, honor your mother, your father, keep all the commandments. And Jesus said, you're right. Then he said, I've done all these. I've kept every one of these commandments since I was a boy. I'm good. I can check all that off. I've done all that. And Jesus said, okay, well, there's one thing you're lacking. Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. Why did Jesus confront him that? Because Jesus knew that that guy's real money, and the guy's real God was money. That he said he loved everything, he said he kept all the commandments, but God, his money and wealth was more important to him than his love for the Lord. And the Bible said he went away sorrowful. And his heart was heavy. When you read about the rich young ruler, one thing you discover about him is he's one of the few people that met Jesus, encountered him, and went away sad because he didn't heed the word of the Lord. So he went away sad, and the disciples were standing there, and Jesus said to them, he said, I'll tell you the truth. He said, it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Disciples heard that and they were shocked. They said, well, then Jesus, who can be saved? Because see, in those times they thought if a person is rich It means they were obedient to God and God blessed them. And if a person is poor, it means they must have been a terrible sinner and God hadn't blessed them. So they believed that wealth was tied to how obedient a person was to the Lord. And so they said, well then, who can be saved? And Peter said, Lord, we've given everything. We've given up everything to follow you. What about us? And Jesus said, the first will be last in my kingdom, and the last will be first. And then he went on to tell this story. So that's the context of why Jesus told this story. In response to the disciples' question, well, what about us? We gave up everything to follow you. If those who are rich can't enter the kingdom, we gave up everything. What about us? And the first will be last, last will be first. So Jesus told this story. And in the story, there was a man who had a field. He was a farmer, Gene. And he had a vineyard. And he came in the morning and he went down to the marketplace, which was customary in those times. He would go to the marketplace and people would be gathered there waiting, looking for jobs. And he went to the marketplace and he saw that there was guys there waiting for work. And he said, you go out and work in my vineyard for the day and I'll pay you all a denarius. And he said, okay. A denarius was a day's wages. We saw that last week. That was a day's wages. It was what the Roman soldiers got paid for a day. And so they thought, well, that's a reasonable compensation. We're getting paid a day's work. We'll go out and do that willingly. So they went out and began to do work in the vineyard all day long. That was at 6 in the morning. Three hours later, 9 in the morning, he goes down to the marketplace and needed some more work. Apparently, they had a lot of work to do in the vineyard. He sees three more guys there. He says, go work in my vineyard. This time, he didn't say how much he'll pay them. He said, just go work in my vineyard, and I'll pay you what's fair. And they didn't even ask him. They said, okay, and they went. 12 o'clock came. He went down, found some more workers that were still standing there waiting to be hired. So he said, go into my vineyard and I'll pay you what what's fair. And they went. 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. It came to 5 o'clock, 1 hour left in the end of the day. And he still saw some guys down there and he says, go to my vineyard and work and I'll pay you what is fair. And they said, okay. So then they went and paid. They went and worked. An hour later, 6 o'clock, the end of the day after the 12-hour shift was done. He was called to his foreman. He said, okay, go pay the men, the workers, for their pay for their work today. And he started with the last ones. He said, make sure you pay the last ones I hired first. Give them their compensation and go backwards from the last one to the first. So the men gathered for their pay, and the ones who had been hired at 6 o'clock in the morning saw the ones getting paid at 5 o'clock a denarius. He gave them the same wages, and they thought, oh boy. He gave them a denarius, and they only worked an hour, so I'll bet he's going to pay us a whole lot more because we were here for 12. But as they got their pay, it was the exact same thing. And they said, wait a minute, that's not fair. Why did we get the same pay? We were here all day slaving in the hot sun, all day long, and you pay us the exact same thing as those guys that just came for an hour. That's not fair. And the landowner said, are you envious because I'm jealous? I'm generous to them, and I want to give them what I think that I want to give them a whole day's work of pay? Are you envious because I'm being generous to them? He said, it's my money. I can do with it what I want. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Well, didn't you agree to work for that compensation? So here's your pay and go. And then Jesus said, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And that's the story. You say, oh, nice story. What's it mean? What's Jesus trying to teach us through that? What's the point? Well, he's trying to teach us. It starts by saying the kingdom of heaven is like. So every time we see that the kingdom of heaven is like, Jesus is saying, this is a principle in my kingdom with me. This is how it is like. It's different than the kingdom of the world. And so the main point is service. And in the service that we render to the Lord, who was the landowner, the field represents salvation and the world. And the workers represent us who are called to serve him and us who are called to salvation. And it's in our service and in our attitude for service, we will be rewarded. And the reward that he gives us is what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to discover five principles that we can learn to apply to our life relating to the service and kingdom. And the first is this. First principle, it's practical, is that all who serve Christ will be rewarded. That's part of what we learn from this story. They all received their reward. All the workers in the field, all were rewarded by the master, by the landowner. And when Jesus calls us to himself and we serve him at the end of our life, when we stand before him, we all will receive, hear that word, well done, come home to me. We'll all receive that reward that he has waiting for us. This was part in response to the disciples' question. It said, Peter's question and concern, well, Lord, what about us? We gave up everything to follow you. Well, what about us? We left everything to follow you. What's going to happen? And Jesus said in the story, you'll get your reward. You'll be rewarded. You may have given up everything in this world. You may have thought, but you'll be rewarded richly when you come into the kingdom someday. And you and I can be encouraged because we all will be, every single believer will be rewarded by Christ. We'll all stand across that finish line. The Bible, Paul said that there, I fought the good fight. I have kept the faith and I've received the crown of life. But he said, not just me, but all those who long for my appearing will receive that as well. Now, when we get to heaven, those rewards may be different, and we'll talk about that, but we all will receive rewards from our Savior. And that's encouraging. So serve him, and serve him with joy, because God's blessing is there. Second thing we see is that those who trust Christ in the 11th hour will receive the same reward as those who trusted Christ as a child. And that's part of the point Jesus is making here. Putting this whole thing in context, the children were being brought to Jesus, and the disciples said, don't bother the master with kids. He's too important for that. The rich man came to Jesus, and he went away sad because he didn't want to accept the Lord's word. And so Jesus said, and the disciples thought, well, we're pretty good. We gave up everything to follow you. We should be richly rewarded for that. And Jesus, in this story, says, those who come to Jesus at the 11th hour, at the end of their life, will receive the same reward as those of us who trusted Jesus as a kid. Now, I was saved when I was 5. And yes, whenever you come to faith in Christ when you're young, you have your whole life ahead of you to serve the Lord. And those of us here, many of us here probably came to Christ young in our life and had a whole life to serve the Lord. And those of us that have done that, when people come to Christ later on the 11th hour and we find out they get the same reward in heaven as we do we sometimes begrudge that and say, you know, that's not fair. Here, I trusted Christ as a kid. I followed you all my life and served you all my life. And here's someone, the thief on the cross at the last hour. He trusts you and he gets the same reward in heaven that I get. Is that fair? Yes. God says, don't I have the right to show my grace to all? And so this teaches us against spiritual pride, that those of us that are in the church and think we're pretty good because we were Christians all our life and someone comes to Jesus later, Jesus' grace and rewarding of eternal life is the same for all of us. If you were one of the first workers hired, how would you have felt at pay time? Would you have felt like these guys, that's not fair, I deserve more? Would it had, but the Lord offers us all the same amount of grace. And that's what this story teaches us. His grace is the same for for all of us. Whether we were saved young in life, at the beginning of our life, early in the process, early, or whether in the 11th hour, we come to trust Him. His grace is the same for all of us. And aren't you thankful that it is? That the ground is level at the foot of the cross. And our God is no respecter of persons. He loves us all the same with His bestowing of grace that He dispenses to us all freely. And that's what Jesus is teaching us in this story. And that the Lord gives us all the same inheritance. And that inheritance is the gift of eternal life. It's the promise of all that's in store for us in heaven that we can't even begin to comprehend. That our loved ones are enjoying now. Some of our loved ones are enjoying now. But we all have that same gift given to us. Every believer. Whether it's at the beginning of the day as a child, or whether it's in the 9th hour or 11th hour of life, the person on the deathbed who trusts Christ at that moment receives that same gift of eternal life that you and I have, who serve Jesus all our life. We can say that's not fair, but that's God's grace, amen? And we're thankful that that's how He works. And that's what this story illustrates, and that's what Jesus is teaching us. That His grace and mercy is for all of us. Young in life, early in life. The disciples thought, we gave up everything to follow You. We deserve special reward in heaven. And we may think, oh, I served You, Jesus, all my life as a kid. We deserve special reward in heaven. Jesus says, no. The reward is the same for all of us. The gift of eternal life. And what I have promised you, My grace is the same. And that's the point of this story. Next thing we see is how do you feel about recent converts getting the same benefits as you in the kingdom? We should say, some of us say that's not fair. We say that's good. That's God's grace. The third thing we see from this story is that none of us deserve mercy and grace, but He generously bestows it upon us. Look as the story unfolds here. Jesus, in verse 13 to 15. As the first workers complained to Him, in verse 12, and they said, why did You make us who worked 1 hour equal to those of us who bore the work of in the heat for all day long? And Jesus said, farmer said to them, friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for denarius, take your pay and go? I want the man, give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do with what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am so generous? And the point there Jesus is making is that none of us deserve God's mercy and grace, but He generously bestows it upon all of us. And that's what Jesus is telling us in this story. As the owner and of our life, He generally bestows that grace upon all of us equally that none of us deserve. He called those workers to work. He called them and said, come work for Me. And so He could bestow His grace and favor upon them. And He bestows His grace and favor upon us. Which brings us to the fourth point, that as the Lord and the owner of our lives, He alone has a right to reward His servants as He sees best. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He said, don't I have the right to do with my money what I want? And the Lord, who was the owner of our lives, He has the right to reward us as He sees best. And the Bible says that the Lord, through His spiritual giftings, gifts some of us more with some gifts and others with others. He may gift some people more with wealth than others. And we don't get jealous about that. It's the Lord in His grace can give and bless us as He so chooses, right? That's His will and prerogative. He can do that. And we shouldn't get jealous, or we shouldn't be envious if He blesses somebody with another gift that we don't have, or with something more that we don't have. We shouldn't be envious about that, but be thankful because it's the Lord's right As the owner of our life, he can bless us and gift us any way he so desires, because he's God. And be thankful for that. And it's again the attitude of thanksgiving. He says, take your pay and go. Be grateful that I give you grace and just go. It's my right as the Lord for me to bless and to bestow grace upon who I want and to decide. The Holy Spirit says in the Bible that the Holy Spirit gives his gifts as he so determines, according to his good purpose and will in our life. Paul had spent a lot of time when he was talking about the spiritual gifts. And some of the church in Corinth had a lot of issues. Part of their issues were they were fighting with each other. They had sin that was rampant in that church, and they had a lot of issues that was going on there, and Paul was writing to correct a lot of them. But one of their issues as well was they were fighting over the spiritual gifts. And some people thought the gift they had was more important than others. And they said, if you don't have the gift I have, you're not as good as me. And they were fighting over those. And the Lord said through Paul, the Holy Spirit gives them to each of us as he so determines. But then he goes and says, the greatest gift of all is the gift of love. And if it's not manifested through love, then it means nothing. So God will reward us according to he sees best. So serving him with joy and with thanksgiving. And the last principle we see in this story is that Jesus calls us to an upside down way of living. When he ends the story with that statement, which he began, and you can see, if you look at the connection here, you can see it's very clear. Look at chapter 19, verse 30. In chapter 19, verse 30, and remember the chapter and divisions and verses were not in the original scripture. God didn't inspire that. Man put that there later. So God inspired Matthew to write it as Jesus said it. And what does chapter 19, verse 30 say? Many, the first will be last, and the last will be first. Look down at verse 16 of chapter 20. What's it say? Last will be first, and the first will be last. See that bracket there? The beginning of the story and the end of the story. Jesus, that's the main point of the story. That Jesus used that to tell us. That he is turning, that he calls us to a kingdom that is turned upside down. That the world thinks those who are powerful, those who are rich, are the ones who are important. But in God's kingdom, it's those who serve him in humility. Those who answer his call and faithfully serve him, not for glory, but as Ralph said, in joy, not bringing glory to ourselves, but glory to God, and laboring in the vineyard, laboring in the field, faithfully, in the heat, and the hardship, and all that, laboring faithfully for the master in the field, for his glory and for his honor, not for ourselves, turning the kingdom of this world upside down. And the values that Jesus calls us to are countercultural, denying ourselves to follow him, to bring the glory to Christ, not to ourselves. Not to be served, but to serve. To run counter in the world. Not to be first, but last. Again, that's why the children were mentioned here. As they were considered, don't spend time with Jesus with them, but Jesus welcomed them, showing that my kingdom is not like this world. I operate in a different value system, what the world does. So there's joy in serving Jesus. And as he calls us first to himself, to salvation, then he calls us to serve him in his vineyard and his field until the day that he calls us home, when we receive our reward, but serving him faithfully there, knowing at the end he'll say, good and well done, good and faithful servant. That's who we live our life for, to hear him say that. But to serve him with joy and faithfulness, knowing that all service to him will be rewarded as we give it to him faithfully, and that those who come to Christ later receive the same joy because God in His grace bestows it freely upon all of us. So serve Him with joy, serve Him with gladness, because in His kingdom, the first are last, and the last are first. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You for this story and the many others that You've told us, of illustrating for us that Your kingdom, Your value system, runs totally countercultural to our world. Our world says the first are first, and the last are last. And those who elevate themselves and those who are positioned there are the ones who are of importance. But You call us to labor in Your vineyard faithfully for You. And whether it's when we're young and have a whole life ahead of us to serve You until that final hour, or whether it's You call someone into Your vineyard and they trust You in the last hours of their life, You still bestow upon all of us that same grace and that same reward of eternal life, of enjoying Your presence forever, of crossing that finish line and hearing You say, "Well done, enjoy My presence, child. Welcome home." And so, Lord, thank You that Your love for all of us is the same, that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. And Lord, that You call us to live countercultural in an upside-down kingdom, that where the last are made first and the first are made last. Thank You, Lord, for teaching us what real life is about. Help us, Lord, to have the attitude to serve You faithfully, not to think it's not fair if someone gets more than us or we don't get what we think we deserve. None of us get what we deserve, but in Your grace, You have bestowed it freely upon us. So, Lord, may we faithfully serve You in Your vineyard until the day You call us home to take us to receive our reward from Your hand. Thank You, Lord, for Your word and its truth in our life. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.